Oscar comes, can we just sing the one over the page? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And then as we, the last verse, we'll hand over to the pastor. Praise God. I stand. Calvary and suffered and died alone. Let's really sing it like we really appreciate it this morning.
He took my sins and my soul.
Each and every one this morning. I give everyone a very warm welcome in their service and trust and pray the Lord will bless each one this morning. Praise God. Let's turn in the Word of God, and tonight our brother Alan's going to be sharing his testimony, and I don't know how long it'll take. I don't want to limit him, but depending on how long it takes, and then maybe I'll share a wee short message at the end. But Alan, God leads you on longer, that's all right. Just we want God to have his way. But this morning, I want to share with you in this message, and I preached this message years ago, and I could not find no notes on it nowhere. Probably in the roof space, my books, old books, used to have the old jotters. Don't know my name, jotters rolled out. And then I changed tablets, and all the information that was meant to be across on the new one, but it wasn't. And you might say, well, it's not important. Well, it might be to some people, but I had lots of scriptures in there and different things in there, but I had to just close myself in and get this all again. And let's turn to Matthew 27. And those that want to take scriptures, Mark 15, 33-38, or Luke 23, 44-45, is other scriptures about the subject. And let's read Matthew 27, verse 45, down till verse 53. And when I went back, thinking so many things about the cross, the miracles of the cross, so many wonderful things. And I'm going to go on a new campaign. And I'm going to start preaching every meeting on the cross. Now you might think you might preach much, but I'll tell you, I was surprised when I went back over. I know I've preached so many things before, but I'll tell you, God's got a big loaf here.
Amen.
And I've been eating on over 30 years, and I don't seem to have even took a corner of it. But thank God for it. Praise God. Let's read verse 45 then to 53. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge of vinegar, a sponge, and filled it with vinegar and put it in a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Let's bow our heads this morning, and every head bowed and every eye closed. If you have a need, lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come boldly from your footstool into your throne room because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, I'm asking you for help. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you that you do undertake for me. Pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I come against every land spirit, every demonic spirit, every evil spirit, every work of the devil. And I command it to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for every hand that's raised. You'll meet every single need. And you'll answer the prayer of the need. Touch the sick and the afflicted. Heal them, we pray. Save every lost soul. And get to thyself all the praise and all the glory, we pray. Help us now and close us in with yourself. And confirm your own word with signs and wonders following. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Now cover us with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that's near and dear to us. We claim under it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. I don't want to get emotional. I don't want to do that because I can't believe this. This is a big message. But God bless you. This is the darkness on Calvary when Jesus Christ was on the cross. So many miracles happened. And I believe this is one of the greatest miracles that happened while the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross. And the first thing I want to look at this morning is the period of the darkness. From the sixth hour, there was darkness unto the ninth hour. The daylight for darkness. The sixth hour was noon, 12 o'clock. And the darkness lasted from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Thus, the time of the darkness was at the sun's brightest, at the sun's greatest strength. The darkness was at the time in the day where the sun was at its strongest. The best part of the day is between 12 and 3 o'clock. And this shows us the miraculous power of this darkness. And it reminds us that God likes to display his power against all odds. Against all odds, God displays his power. We know in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, that it was a time of the overflowing of the banks when they had to cross the Jordan. And the Bible says in verse 16 that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon and heavy very far from the city Adam that's beside Saratan. And those that came down toward the sea plain and every salt sea field and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm in the ground in the midst of Jordan. Basically, these banks was overflowed. This was at the highest time, the deepest the waters ever were. But God dried them up. And God done the miraculous, and they stood on dry ground. This sounds like the event when the children of Israel left Egypt and they came to the Red Sea and they murmured and cried against Moses. And Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." And God parted the waters. And the waters went back. And the Jews went over on dry ground. And not only did they go over on dry ground, their enemies tried to follow them. And as the last Jew, Brother Laurie, stepped out of the bank and was skipping and dancing, because remember, God had delivered them and the waters closed over. And the waters that saved Israel condemned their enemy and banished their enemy. And those that had been whipping them and beating them, those big taskmasters, and their horses and their chariots were swallowed up in the water. An old dry-eyed atheist said one time to my father, Billy, he says, it was known as the Reed Sea. Because it was only up to their ankles deep, that's how they were able to cross it. And my dad says, praise God for that. And he says, what do you mean? He says, well, then it was double the miracle that God could drown a horse in water ankle deep. Thank God for the miraculous. God wants us to know that he's powerful. And God wants us to know when it looks impossible with man, my Bible says it is possible with God. Psalms 46 verse 1, God is my refuge, my strength, a very present help in trouble. I told you on Thursday night, he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. The universe can't contain God. God is supernatural. And I want you to know this morning, God is your help and God is your strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. God not only can help in the sunshine, but also in the storm. And God can raise us above the storm. So in bringing this darkness upon the earth at the crucifixion time, God did it in the brightest and strongest moment of the day. Thus the power of God had seen greater glory to the Lord. He done this. Darkness. Now, I know that many people think that this darkness came, you know, twilight and all them things. But I believe God did it in the brightest part of the day. Now, the duration of this darkness, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, this darkness lasted 3 hours. This was long enough time that the people knew this was not a normal thing taking place at this time of the day. I sincerely believe at that time at the cross, many would have been shaken in their boots. Many would have been afraid. Because all of a sudden, in the brightness of the day, darkness comes. And I want you to know this morning that this is not a natural darkness. This is a supernatural darkness. I'm going to look at it more in a moment. Now I want to talk about the power of this darkness. Luke 23:45, and the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. This darkness was a divine miracle. It cannot be explained as an eclipse or some other natural astronomical event. The reason it cannot be explained as an eclipse is because the Passover season, which has been celebrated at this time, is always associated with the full moon. No eclipse can happen in the time of the full moon. The sun and the moon are not in the right position for an eclipse at such a time. Furthermore, an eclipse that would cause darkness would only last a few moments. Then the moon would be passing by the sun and the light would begin to shine increasingly after a few minutes. But in this darkness, the light did not shine for a total of 3 hours. This is no eclipse. And is it so familiar that the skeptics today, when somebody has a supernatural experience, they want to explain it away? But I can tell you there's no explaining this away. This is in your Bible for a reason. And I want you to know this is a miracle of God. This darkness, the light did not shine for a total of 3 hours, no eclipse, but a miracle of God. God is so omnipotent. God in his omnipotence caused the darkness with a divine miracle. And oh, for the critics and the unbelievers, this is too much. It's too much for them when a young man says, a voice spoke to me and my life was changed. It's too much for the old critic and the unbeliever. But we believe in the supernatural because we're serving a supernatural God. Amen. Hear this. With supernatural ability and supernatural authority. He's beyond a human, for he's Almighty God. Oh, they want to tell it away. They always want the natural explanation. You cannot accept God doing such things. And I want you to know that this was not the first time that God worked and caused the sun to do things abnormally. Joshua 10, verses 12 to 14. Follow with me. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still in the moon's stead until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. I tell you, the day was going and the light was going to go. And they were going to be facing the night, but they needed light to continue the battle. And the servant of God prayed. And God caused these natural things, these elements of the sun and the moon, to stand still. And to keep on keeping on till the victory was won. Now, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I know of God in heaven can make the sun stop and stand, and the moon stop and stand, and the Red Sea to dry up, and then when he commands us to come in again, God can do for you what nobody else can do. So the sun stood in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. For a whole day it stood, and there was no day like it after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And I want to say in 2026 this morning that God will fight for Israel. Now, President Trump's doing a good job, and that's great. But it's not President Trump that will deliver Israel. It's ultimately God that will deliver Israel. But I believe in Donald Trump, and God put him where he is. Thank God for him. I'm going to say, like the boy said before, may God continue to grease his elbow. And may God bless him. But that's nothing to do with my message this morning, anyhow. Also later in Israel's history, follow me, we're looking at the darkness, the power of the darkness. When Hezekiah was king of Judah, God gave him a sign that he would recover from a sickness. He was going to die, but God recovered him from a sickness, Isaiah 38, verse 7 to 9. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the decrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by the degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I tell you something. Hear me this morning, young person in this service. Hear me. This is the word of the Lord for you. I'm now prophesying, so you better listen. And I'm serious. You can write this down if you want. But if God did this here as a sign, and you're praying about somewhere, whether you're going or coming, and you need to know God's will, God can speak to you. God don't need to speak to somebody around the corner for you. You can lay your fleece, and God will answer your own fleece. Not your mummies or your daddies, yes, but your flesh. Yes, your mummy might have an idea, or your daddy might have an idea. But how do you know that's God? You'd better know your own self. When you get saved, your mom doesn't get saved for you. Your dad doesn't get saved for you. God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. You need to meet the Lord your own self. And you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. So I want to tell you, God will give you the sign. And all you have to do is ask him for it. And God will do it. And I know what I'm talking about. Now I want you to see here, thirdly, the place of the darkness. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. So Matthew tells us over all the land. But when we read Luke 23:44, the Bible says over all the earth. Now I know somebody's listening to me and they'll say, Brother Tom, we've always got, you know, people that's smart. That's all right. I know what they're going to say, Brother Larry. Sure, one half of the world would be darkened anyhow. That's true. That's absolutely true. But that doesn't change the fact God darkened the rest of it. So there you are. And just like God flooded the world in Noah's time, Luke says the whole earth was darkened. Some of the writers say the land was darkened, but Luke says the whole earth was darkened. And I believe, look. And I thank God that God is supernatural. And I tell you, this was the land of Palestine in darkness. Not amazing this morning. Hung on the cross. Now I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back. I'm going to take the whole trial of Jesus again. You pray for me, God will help me. I need time. I need to get out of this daily working business and get time of God. I'm only fiddling, playing about. No time. I need time. I need time to wait on the Lord. And I'll tell you, God's got great things ahead. Now another thing here, number four, is the purpose of this darkness. Purpose of this darkness. The purpose of the darkness, the crucifixion, is at least twofold. It was punishment and it was protection. Punishment and protection. Punishment and the purpose. In the punishment, there was a precedence, the people and the person and the punishment. So in the punishment, there's a precedence, there's a people, there's a person for the punishment. Now, I know that's a lot, but it's a fact. First, the precedence for the punishment. Scripture gives plenty of precedence for us to see the darkness as punishment. Plenty of it. Look what it says in Genesis when we read about Abraham making an offering to God in regards to the covenant. Genesis 15, verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Darkness was definitely in Egypt when Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go. Darkness come over the land of Egypt. Your Bible says, if you go to Exodus 10 and read through Exodus 10, verse 21, on through it, it says, gross darkness. Here's what else it says. Darkness that could be felt. It was such a darkness. It was a powerful darkness that you could feel it. This was God's punishment. And the darkness speaks of punishment. And God was punishing Pharaoh and those of Pharaoh's household because they wouldn't obey God's prophet, Moses. Let the people of God go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Verse 21 of Exodus 10. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. Now we're preaching about 3 hours of darkness on the cross, but this was 3 days of absolute darkness. And don't think in your head, there's countries of the world that it gets dark early and all them things, that's right. But I'm not talking about getting dark early. I'm not talking about where there's a wee bit of light and you can see. The Bible's clear here. This was an absolute blackout of blackouts. This was absolute pitch black darkness for 3 full days. This was God showing his power. God showed his judgment over these Egyptians. Here's what it says in verse 23. And they saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The children of Israel had light in their dwellings. But these Egyptians were in darkness. And I want you to know this morning, when you're saved and born again, you are walking in the light. This he is in the light. But a man or woman that's not saved is in darkness. They're in darkness and they're away from God. They're strangers from the covenants of promise. Strangers from hope. But when you're born again, you're walking in the light. For Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And when you get saved and you get Jesus inside your heart and inside your life, you're lit up. But without Christ, you're dark. Dark in your heart, black as pitch. Look what Hannah prayed in her prayer as well. When she's given thanks for the birth of Samuel, and I mentioned it the other night, her lips moved, but she couldn't be heard. The priest Eli thought she was drunk. But she was praying for a miracle. That miracle was Samuel. Samuel was a miracle. Because Hannah couldn't bear children. It was impossible for her to have children, but she prayed, and God gave her the mighty miracle of a child. Not any child, but Samuel. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel 2 and 9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. I tell you, the man and the woman that's not saved today, they're going to face darkness. But the man and woman that's saved is going to face light. For my Bible says the Lamb is the light thereof. No night in heaven. Did you know that? There's no such thing as nighttime in heaven. It's all light in heaven. Then look at the prophet Joel spoke on the day of the Lord, Joel 2:31, that sun shall be turned into darkness, moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. The prophet Amos said similar thoughts. Amos 5:18, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end it is for you the day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Zephaniah 1:15. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a distress, a day of wastedness, desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. That's the times that's coming on this earth. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ speaks of darkness in terms of judgment. Matthew 25:30, and he cast ye unprofitable servant of it out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You can read Jude 6:13, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, they have reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming at their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Darkness is judgment. Second, the people for the punishment. It is not difficult to see that the people are all been punished by this darkness. All that we've mentioned. Just as the guilty Egyptians were been punished by the darkness in Moses' day, so those had part in the crucifixion are going to be punished. There's going to be judgment. Darkness promotes fear. You know that? Darkness promotes fear. Wicked people are the first to fear. Darkness could cause the wicked people to be involved in condemning and crucifying the Christ, to tremble. You know what's singing this song as I was doing out, excuse me, doing out notes and things. We haven't heard this song in years, but it was sang in our old schoolhouse. Sometimes it makes me feel like tremble, tremble, tremble. You heard that, Brother Simon? How many remembers that song? Well, I'll tell you. There was a girl from Germany sang it with some other girls in our old meeting house, Laurie, in the schoolhouse. And I'll tell you even further, more than that, the Holy Spirit spoke in that meeting house. And the Holy Spirit said, people will come to this wee place from all over the world. And they were from Germany, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, USA, and many other places came to that schoolhouse. But I tell you, these people were being judged. Darkness. Wicked people are the first to fear. They're the first to fear. There is evidence that some people that were watching the crucifixion after the darkness had taken place, they were afraid. They'd done the badness, as the man says here in Northern Ireland. They had done the badness. When you think of some of the badness that's been done in this country, And I tell you, the man that's done the badness in this country, if they don't repent and turn to Jesus Christ, one day they'll face the wrath of God. Luke 23:48 says, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which are done, smote their breasts and returned. They were afraid. There was a holy fear. Matthew 27:54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which are done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Here's the third thing in this. The person of the punishment. Now I'm going as quick as I can, but I don't want to rush too much. I want you to get this. Darkness represented the punishment which Christ was taken for the sinners. Look at the cry of Christ at the end of the darkness. Christ cries out at the end of the darkness. Now hold that for a moment before I hang a door. I want you to think back to Genesis in your Bible. I want you to think in the beginning. There was darkness. The earth was without form and void. There was darkness covered the face of the deep. It's in the Bible. What's it say next? Then the Spirit of God moved. And here at the end of these 3 hours, Jesus cries with a loud voice. And the darkness ceases. But it never ceased till he cried out. And we know he cried, it's finished. The work's been done, it's finished. Jesus took your place, your hell, your darkness, your fear, your sickness, your disease. Jesus took it all in Calvary. That was God that sent the darkness. Because God can't behold sin. And the earth blacked out, the sun blacked out, the moon blacked out, because Jesus took our place. And all the wrath of God that you and me was guilty of. For all the lying and killing and stealing and fighting and fussing, Jesus took it all at Calvary. That's why John 3:16 is high and lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus took your darkness. I love the words of Reinhard Bonnke. They're inspired. He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Do you realize when Jesus cried, it's finished, and he gave up the ghost, that he would darn his soul when out of him his soul went into the underworld? And all those that was held in Abraham's bosom, when Jesus rose, they rose. And he preached unto those that were held captive. And he led captivity captive. And he rose up. And he gave gifts unto man. Now you can read Matthew 27:46, but I'm going straight to Psalms 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to know this morning that God abandoned Jesus on that cross, that he suffered and he died alone, literally. He took your full place. And he bore the wrath and punishment of God for every sinner. For every sinner. Oh, don't you go about poking your finger at some wee girl because she's blocked or in drugs. So I want you to tell you this morning, God loves them. And God can save them. And God can deliver them. Not one of us is better than the next. But we're only saved by the grace of God. And that's the old devil wants to get them down deep in the gutter of sin. But I want you to know that on that cross, in those 3 hours of darkness, Jesus took the place of that wee drug addict, of that wee drunkard, of the prostitute, of the liar and the stealer and the adulterer. Jesus took the place and the punishment of God, and God turned his back. What the mighty stoop the Lord took so that mankind could be saved. All the wrath of God fell on Christ on the cross. All God's wrath. Psalms 42 verse 9. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? This is Christ taking the sinner's place. The unrepentant sinner will be forsaken by God. There's no place for the unrepentant sinner. No place on the darkness. That's why preachers are to go into all the world and preach the gospel and preach repentance. Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's eternal life. We need to preach repentance. We need to preach that Jesus is the only way. It's not the church, it's not the organization. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The darkness shows the judgment upon sin. Sin, which Christ was taking the sinner's place. Jesus suffered the darkness of death and hell for me and you. He took our place, our hell, that we would go to heaven. Bunky said, plundering hell, populating heaven. You see that title? That title's on the front of a book that's in my bookshelf. It's a small book. But Brother Idris, he's not here this morning. May God bring him. He brought me that book when I was in the Crumlin Road jail. And I tell you, that book done something on me. There's two books that affected me. That was one of them. But there was another one by Smith Wigglesworth called Ever Increasing Faith. And I can guarantee you this in this service. If you sincerely read that book, sincerely, you'll not be the same when you finish it. That book will change you. Because it's inspired of God. Now I know the Bible's the greatest book. We need to read our Bibles. We need to read our Bibles. I tell you, the darkness also provided protection. Protection and the purpose of the darkness. And I'm closing here in a moment. I'm going to close. I didn't think I'd have got this far. I've listened well. There's protection in the darkness, in a sense. The purpose. You see, we have all our wee artists, and they have Christ and a cross and a wee cloth over them and all them things. Well, that's all wrong. Jesus Christ, because he was convicted as a criminal. Every single criminal that was convicted was stripped off totally naked and nailed to the cross. And they're put up high, and he was the highest in the middle, showing he's the greatest criminal. Stripped off naked for the world to see. A shame. If I took my clothes off in this morning in this service, wouldn't it be some embarrassment? Would be for me, anyhow. I know the big fella's laughing, but wouldn't it be? I'd be ashamed to do it. And I tell you, Christ never took them off. Never took off them. He was stripped of everything. Get this, stripped of everything. So that he could clothe us
He lost all his garments that he could clothe us with a holy garment. And because he was stripped, we are clothed with his divine righteousness. This darkness was protection because it hid his nakedness for 3 hours. It was such an embarrassment, God turned his back. Did you know in the Old Testament, if you looked at your father's nakedness, that was a real bad thing? A real bad thing. And it still is. We have people today and they think nothing of flesh in the backside. Men and women. And they flesh their backsides to the world. And they laugh at it. But really, it's an embarrassment when somebody flashes a backside. Showing the behind parts, that's an embarrassment. But I want to tell you, this is the greatest act in all of the Bible. There's no other act greater than this act. This is the act of Jesus taking our place. And I tell you, there's a protection for a while in these 3 hours of darkness. I'm closing this scripture. I'm going to have to close. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Every single man and every single woman was born in sin and shape and in iniquity. We were under the curse. But Jesus Christ took our curse on the cross. Now I know when people get saved and they have schools today, and I know all about them. And the crafts and devils out of people that are saved and they're fiddling about. They're reading this and reading that. That's all well and good. But I want to tell you this morning, if you really get born again, you'll not need nobody to cast anything off you. Jesus will take the lot. He'll take everything from you and he'll wash you in his precious blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness. And he doesn't leave a wee bit. He cleans me clean from tip to bottom. From bottom to top, from the inside to the outside, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer what I used to be. I'm a child of the King, and I'm going to go further. I'm now seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am now a son of God. I'm no longer a son of the devil or petition. I'm a child of the King. Because in these 3 hours, he paid the price for me. I'm not saved by works here this morning. For by grace through faith are you saved. When God saves you, God will do the rest. Because before you ever got saved, you had no strength to save your own self. It was the Holy Spirit that moved you, that drew you, that brought you to repentance. And the same Holy Spirit will now fill you and baptize you and take you on with the things of God. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Praise God. Praise God. You can hardly hear this outcome. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. One in this meeting and you need to get right with God. One that will listen to this message, you need to get right with God. You can raise your hand and I'll pray for you. But I'm telling you, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised this same Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Heavenly Father, we bow before you with reverence. Oh Lord, words would fail us. What can we say further, oh God? Lord, you took our place. took our hell. All the wrath of God was poured in you. Lord, when we look at the old law, we'd have been stoned, we'd have been punished. But we thank you for a New Testament. We thank you we're living in the day of grace. And we thank you that you took our place and you said it's finished. Lord Jesus, accept of our thanks, accept of our praise. Lord, we want to say again, we love you with all of our hearts. Because you first loved us. We love you, Jesus. Lord, you know the condition many of us were in. Lord, we were so far away, so deep in sin and darkness. And you reached down and you said, I love you. And I give myself for you. What a message. What a message. Lord, I'm asking you for the unsaved this morning especially. Lord, will you speak with them? Will you deal with them? Will you move with them? Will you bring them to repentance, to know you? Think of our own loved ones, sons and daughters and family. Oh, Lord, move upon them, we pray. Save them. You know the people that your children's been praying for even in this house. Lord Jesus, grant them grace and save them. Touch those that need your touch. Those that's praying, Lord, this morning and need an answer. Grant it, I pray, in clearness. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. For we ask these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the brother to come. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to sing a hymn. My Saviour suffered on the tree, glory to the bleeding lamb. Let us remain standing while we sing it. And after we sing it, we might sing a chorus or two. There's no overhead for the words, but we'll just want to take a time this morning and really think about the things that we've heard. And really appreciate what the Lord has done for us. Number 48, my Saviour suffered on the tree. And you know, it was powerful. You know, I really loved that thought. I had never thought about it myself before. How the darkness was there in the beginning. And when Jesus cried, he drove the darkness away. You know, one of the last things that Jesus said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know I'm glad Jesus drove the darkness away. I'm glad he took God's judgment. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus bore it at Calvary, praise God. We're going to, after we sing this, take a little time. Maybe somebody would like to pray. You know, but this Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. If he could endure the cross, he can save the one that's on your heart. He can save them, praise God. Let us sing this. And then if you want to take your seat after we sing it, just remain comfortable. But we'll just let us for a time this morning reflect on what we have heard. Praise God.
My Savior.